I want to try to encourage you tonight from a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And Lord willing, on Sunday night, I will continue this message and finish it up because I think it's an important one for us to understand. The title of my message is Constraining Love, What Is It? Constraining Love, What Is It? 14 and 15 are probably some of the most famous Bible verses. I know from my earliest memory of having learned this verse of Scripture in school, in Sunday school, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." Let us pray. Father, in these few moments together tonight, I pray that You might encourage our hearts. Lord, that we might understand what this constraining love is, and we pray that we might understand our response to it. And I pray, Father, that we would be faithful individuals, that our hearts and lives would be bathed in the understanding of Your love. Your love already overwhelms us, floods us, and yet so many times we don't respond rightly to it. And so I pray, Father, that You would use this to encourage our hearts, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No one who studies the life of the Apostle Paul can fail to wonder what made him serve so tirelessly and unselfishly. When you read the book of Acts, it is a book of Acts. I mean, it is constant. It's a steady barrage of activity. Paul's going here. Four missionary journeys are recorded in that book. You see him going to Rome. You see him in prison twice. It is a book of activity and action. And we don't even get to Paul until you get to chapter 12 and 13. You start getting into Paul's life and so forth. So from 13 to 28 in the book of Acts is a record of his many activities and things, and he worked tirelessly. He was always on the go for God. And I want to share with you from one of the greatest sections of his letters the answer that he gives for why he worked so long, why he worked so tirelessly, why he went through the beatings that he went through, the shipwrecks, the misunderstandings, why he continued to supplement his income by making tents so he wouldn't be a burden to others. It was the love of Christ that constrained him. What does that mean? Well, there are some good people who believe that it was Paul's love for Christ that constrained him to serve. And this has been a debate. I can remember in college, we had the big debate on the word constraint. Is it an objective genitive or is it a subjective genitive? Now you said, oh boy, I'm already bored. Can we go ahead and leave now? All right. I'm not going to give you a Greek lesson, but I'll tell you the difference. An objective genitive would be my love for Christ. A subjective genitive would be God's love for me. All right. So that's the difference between the two. What's used here? It says here, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ. Well, I've studied this over the years and I've read several men, and most of the Greek scholars indicate that this is indeed a subjective genitive, that it is God's love for us that constrains us. Because from the context, as we're going to see, we see only the work of Christ exalted. Only His work of love. There's nothing here that would indicate Paul's work somehow being used as the example of his love, and that's what constrained him to serve. But rather, all of the details here talk about Christ. And so the context indicates what form, what genitive is used here, and the subjective genitive is used. So this love is the love of Christ for us. This word constrain is often misunderstood. The thought has been that the love of Christ restricts us or straps us. I can remember many, many years ago, and this is in my mind because when we were kids, we used to go down the street to Dennis and Timmy's house. Dennis and Timmy Hughes. They were involved in the ministry here. Mrs. Hughes worked in the kitchen and Mr. Hughes worked on the buses, and we were all in school together. And so we enjoyed going down to Dennis and Timmy. And I can remember we were always getting into tussles. And Dennis was so much bigger than the rest of us. And he was about 5-6 years older than Timmy and about 5 years older than me. He was already in high school at the time. And when he was finished growing, he had to be 6'2", 6'3". I can't remember how tall he was. But I can remember we were in Timmy's bedroom, and they had a pet squirrel. Dennis had caught it, and they had it in a cage, and he had the wounds to prove it. That squirrel would chew you up and spit you out. You didn't stick your fingers in the screen, because that squirrel would fly down on you, and he would chew, he would bite, cut the blood out of you. He was a mean squirrel. But anyway, we were in Timmy's room, and I can remember Dennis came over, and he just grabbed Timmy up, and he put his arms around, and he was thrashing him around, and Timmy started wailing, "Dad, Dad, Dennis is constraining me." And I'll never forget, Dennis was laughing. I mean, it was so funny. "I'm doing what to you? You're constraining me." And he said, "No, I'm restraining you." Well, in Timmy's mind, he had heard "constraineth us" from school. I know he had, and so he had that word in his mind that Dennis was constraining him. But that's not what the word means. It doesn't mean to restrict or strap down. The word, the Greek word that's used here, is a word that means to hold together, to press together, to put together with Christ, in other words. That's the picture. The only way that I can describe this particular word, if you'll think about the cables that hold up San Francisco Bridge. Those cables are just recently, back in I think 2009 and 2010, they redid all of the cables on that bridge. They had been in place since 1932. They had come up with an ingenious machine that would wrap cables around cables to make the huge, large cables that some of them are 18 inches across. They are cables on top of cables. And they showed the smallest twines that were wrapped together. And this was hundreds of miles of small little cables to start with, which became 18-inch cables when they were done. And they had this machine that went up all the way across, and it was spinning the cable all the way across the other side. Then they would bring it back, and it would spin another layer of cable. And they did this back and forth till they had the entire bridge completely done. And then they ran the struts to connect the rest of the bridge to that. And for nearly 75 years, that cable had been there with salt working on it, and it had held true. And so it was a major, major deal to go back through it and redo all that cable after 75 years. And some of the men, they did a video on that. I think it was on PBS that they did. And they were showing how they had to go back and look at the old equipment to get the ideas of how to build the new equipment to do that. And they said they were just, it was unbelievable, the engineering feat that was used to develop these splines that would circulate around those cables and then wind it tightly, but also leave it where it would stretch and move in the heat and in the sun and with the weight of all the traffic going across it for all those years. It was just an amazing feat of engineering. That kind of describes what constraining is. It is the being put together tightly with Christ. And we understand this when you hear from John chapter 10 that we are put into the hand of God and Christ's hand shelters us. No man can separate us from the love of God. All right? His love constrains us. It keeps us. It shields and protects us. This love of Christ that He has for me is nowhere near. I mean, it is so far beyond any love that I might have for Him. You may have the best of love in this world, but you will never measure to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's love for us, which is prior to and the explanation of our love for Christ, is what is in play here. This love that Christ bestows upon us holds together, presses us together as one hand upon the other, pressing us together with Christ. The present tense indicates the continuous habit of life by this word. Now notice please, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Right? It works in us. It produces something in us. His love working in our hearts and lives produces something. And this is what we're going to get into, Lord willing, on Sunday night. And I'm just going to touch on these points just to share them with you. I'm going to develop them on Sunday night. First of all, because of Christ's love, we understand just how destitute and unworthy we are. For us to have the dose of love that He has to give to us. One of our workers went to the doctor. He left church on Sunday. Very sick. Couldn't talk hardly. His throat was all raspy. He couldn't swallow. So he went to the Minute Clinic. And the Minute Clinic down here at CVS, and they gave him the lowest dose you can get of antibiotics. And so he took two doses like he was supposed to. He got up Monday morning, he felt worse. And so he went through Monday, and finally yesterday, they took him down there. They did several tests, and he had bronchitis. He had, sinus infection, whatever. And they asked what he gave him. So that's just not going to work on this. So they told him, we're going to give you a shot. Now, you might as well tell him you're going to hit him upside the head with a hammer. He about came off that. You're going to what? Going to give you a shot. He said, this is the only way we're going to get you better. And so he had to, get a shot. And he kind of limped out to the car and went home. And amazingly today, he texted me and said, thanks for praying. I'm feeling a whole lot better. And he's going to be able to be back at work tomorrow. Now, it took that dosage of that shot that he was given, which was basically a Z-pack, all five pills and one shot. All right, they just doused it to him, and that was enough to get him over the hurdle and so that he could get over the sickness that he was having here. That's the kind of love that God had to use in our behalf because we were so unworthy, we were so destitute. Number two, because of Christ's love, I have a perfect substitute. That's what these verses tell me. I have a perfect representative, and I have a perfect substitute. Because of Christ's love, I should not live unto myself. That's the response that's given to here. Verse 15, and he that died for all, the substitute, that they which live should not henceforth live, what's the next two words? Unto themselves. What the Bible says here. And then finally, number four, because of Christ's love, I live for the one who died and rose again for me. That, therefore, knowing His love constrains me, that means I respond. That love that was given in such a massive dose to me and continues to this very hour causes me to serve the one who died for me and who rose for me. This is personal. This is personal. I wish that I could share with you some of the stories that I have read in recent times concerning those who gave themselves. I read just recently of Robert Moffat, and I'll share this story again here in the near future. I'll give a little more details about it. But Robert Moffat was the father-in-law to David Livingstone. Robert Moffat had gone back to England with his wife. They met their daughter that they had not seen in 28 years. Okay? Now get that. They served in Africa for 28 years and they went back to England and they saw their daughter that they had not seen for 28 years. You talk about serving apart from family and doing what you need to do for God. I mean, that's a remarkable testimony. As they were preaching, there was a young man, a young doctor in the audience, David Livingstone. And as Robert Moffat told the accounts and stories of that, what had taken place in Africa and what God had been doing, and as Mrs. Moffat got up to tell about how she ministered with the children and what a joy it was. By the way, whenever she came back to England, she died about 6 months later. Many say it was from a broken heart because every day she talked about how she wanted to go back to her children. She was among her living children, but the children in Africa was what she longed to go back. It took them 6 months to get from South Africa back to England. And then she died 6 months later. And Robert Moffat was asked by his children to remain in England. He said, Why don't you stay here? You don't need to go back by yourself. And he gathered his children around him. Most of them were grown. And he said to them, God called me to Africa, and Africa is where I will be. And after 2 years of traveling in England, he boarded passage and went back, and there he died in Africa. But his meeting, that trip right there, was what inspired Dr. David Livingston to go to Africa. But before he did that, he married Robert Moffat's daughter. And, of course, they went through periods of separation. He died alone in Africa. He'd sent his wife and children back to England because of the malaria and the yellow fever that they had suffered from. His children, his wife had suffered from that greatly. But that statement from Robert Moffat inspired, we know of, at least 150 missionaries to go to the foreign field. He said this, the love of Christ constrains me. That's why he went back. That's why he went the first. The love of Christ constrains me. And we'll say, Lord willing, more about that on Sunday night. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your great love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that love constrains us. It was what moved and empowered and strengthened Paul in service for thee. And I pray that it might be that same love that empowers and strengthens and encourages us to serve thee. Lord, when we start to minister in the flesh, we're in trouble because we will not have enough strength. We will not have enough power. We will not have enough love because we are squelching and squandering the love that you're giving to us. We're focusing inward instead of outward. And so I pray that your word would encourage us tonight. We thank you for these two verses of Scripture. And as we seek to open and instruct your people, Father, and as I seek to learn more about your love, I pray that you would teach us to think less of ourselves and more about thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and good night.